The 521st edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, college, basketball, NHL, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy-ho, DeGenerinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 521. This one's dedicated to the guy on YouTube who commented that Gumby should retire and he doesn't do any research and knows nothing about MMA. And then someone replied, who really should go to that Brian Rogers, I assume his name is, on there, who loves us, and said, I'm pretty sure he went 4-2 and hit a couple underdogs on this on this card that you're telling him that he sucks on. But anyhow, this goes out to that guy. Of course, it's a guy, because a woman would not be that dumb. So this goes out to you. I couldn't say it better. Gumby needs to retire for sure. We're going to show you how silly that guy was with when Gumby recaps his picks. I'm thinking you did good with LFA. I only watched smidges of it, but people in the Discord seem to be happy. So I'm assuming he did good with LFA, and he's going to do good for sure with the two Cage Warriors cards we're covering today. So let's bring in the man of the hour, the MMA regional MMA betting god until he actually does retire. It's Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I was perplexed by that comment, because look, I've had bad weeks. Like, if you want to go back to some of my contender series weeks from this past summer, like I had a couple of really bad weeks with contender series this past summer. Like, if I got that comment then, I would just, like, you know, you just take it, yeah. And you're like, okay, well, you know, not everybody has a good day, and I appreciate your feedback and whatever. I did really well this week, and the breakdowns that the couple of fights I missed, I was like razor close to getting correct anyway. Like, it was, you know, I wound up going 3-2 up, if you put $100 on every fight, up $100, because Diego Benchini was a +170 dog when it posted. So if you got in it right on when it posted, he looked like an absolute man possessed in there. His jiu-jitsu was as good as advertised. I think I called him a madman on Monday's episode, and man, did he look like a madman. And then, so the two fights I got wrong were Stavkoren did wind up beating, Safari, Safari did what I thought he would. He wrestled him. He looked really good early on wrestling. He just got hit with a shot. So, like, his wrestling was better than Corin's in the way that I thought it was going to be. And it just didn't wind up being 15 minutes of that. Instead, he got hit with a shot because he's a short king. And I told you I was going to swear off short kings, and I didn't. And I picked him.
Yeah, well.
You know, I'm just going to keep forgetting that rule and picking short guys. And then the only other fight I missed was in the main event. Bruno Assis was a +200 underdog. At the end of the day, I think he fluctuated up a little bit at some points and down a little bit at some points, but about a +200 underdog, and he was up 3-0 when he just ran out of gas and got TKO'd. So like, he was well on his way to winning. And if you flip flop that result, you know, like, which obviously we can't do, you take a $100 loss and turn it into a $200 win. That could have been, we could have been up 4 units on this one instead of one, if he just held on for another 10 minutes. So, and the breakdown was right there. I mean, like, his jiu-jitsu skills were way better. The guy he was fighting could not do as much as people thought he could. You know, he was not quite the wrestler that people thought he is. Salta Baldiev, his manager immediately tweeted at Dana White, Salta Baldiev's did, and was like, hey, or Nick Maynard, sign this man. And like, I hope for his sake that the UFC didn't watch it, if that's what you're advertising, because he was down 3-0, and beat a guy who is exhausted. That's not what you want the UFC to see you do.
Yeah. Maybe like, I'm Jeff Chalks. The guy who was just talking is Gumby. Maybe did you have our names flipped on the screen last
time?
Yeah, I'm the guy that doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I give a lot of thought to regional fighters, and I tell you a lot of like weird tidbits about them. So to
it's pretty obvious. You're not winging it.
It's pretty obvious. I know some of these guys.
I'm the resume guy, not Gumby.
And you know what? I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm like had to look into this guy a little bit. Like we're going to talk about Konstantinos Nitelis a little bit later on. I did not know about him before I saw his name on the fight card, and I'm like, look at this guy in the main event. This Greek name's fun as hell.
It's a week for Greek fighters, is it not?
Because Charles Ambrose is fighting later. The guy who very much loves Ray Longo. Him and Ray Longo have a fun relationship.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't love Ray Longo? I can't say his name, but yes, he's a lovely, lovely man. Not that we want to give a hater more. Mm-hmm. More airtime here, but I've had people comment on stuff I've written or said just based off the main event. Like if you get the main event wrong, they're like, "How'd that go for you?" Like, "Well, it was one fight."
Another hater commented on our YouTube recently. I wish I could remember what the main event I missed was. And they're like, "This aged well," and I'm like, "It did."
That's right. Yeah,
I went four and one on this fight card. Yeah,
exactly. You got one round. So we don't really care. Like it's, I just thought it would be a good talking point, a jumping off point, mind you, because I had a feeling Gumby did good.
So. It was, and you like to get me to brag about myself, so
exactly because he doesn't like attention, as everyone knows. But when we try to have birthday parties for him, he won't let us have it. So, all right, Cage Wars. It's two nights in a row in Manchester. Yes, we got Cage Wars 167, which is going down Friday night, March 15th. Night there. A daytime here, so the gens are gonna love it because it seems like no one ever has to work anymore, and they will love 12:30 p.m. Eastern start time. Our Discord will be jumping for sure. So that's Cage Wars 167 on UFC Fight Pass, and then the next night they are doing 168. So we're going to be covering both fights from both cards. Gumby's picked and chosen the fights that are most interesting to him. So first one, Cage Wars 167, like I said, Friday afternoon, if you live in the East Coast like us, Eastern time zone, UFC Fight Pass, which makes it quite convenient. You can even watch it after the fact, which is always nice for me. BEC Arena in Manchester, England, 14 fights. We're going to cover the top two. Anything else on this card that interests you? Any names that interest you? I guess we haven't seen lines yet. I can't ask about lines, but anything to keep an eye on?
The Cage Warriors 167 one is a little bit on the thin side. When we start talking about Cage Warriors 168, I'll have a little bit more for you there.
All right, cool. There you go. Let's kick things off right away, shall we? We're going with a co-main event. We're going to jump right up to because we're, like I said, we're doing two fight cards here. This is a 3 5-minute round welterweight fight. Omil Brown from England versus Rafael Aronov from Israel. Yes, so I didn't say Rafael. All right. No odds, right? I haven't found odds, and I assume you haven't either, right?
Nope, none yet.
Okay, cool. Gumby will do his best to let us know what he thinks. All right, Aronov, the cop. I assume that's a legit, that's his profession, the cop?
I assume so. I don't know.
Jeff the podcaster Fox, the blogger Fox. He's Aronov is 5-4. 2 knockouts, 3 submissions, so he owes his rounds. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 1 known Cage Warriors, he won 3 straight fights. Regional champion, used to fight at middleweight. 2 inches taller than Brown. Obviously, it's true. Gumby is a fraud. He doesn't know if this guy's a cop or not. So Brown, 6-3, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He owes his rounds too. These guys, it's bound to happen. They're going to give us some rounds. He's been knocked out once, 6-3. All of his fights have been in Cage Warriors. So he's fought high level. Lost, win, loss over his last 3, 4-2 over his last 6. Got knocked out in his last fight. All right. What can you tell us about these gentlemen other than their side hustles?
So I can't tell you about his side hustle, but I do know his brother is Eli Aronoff, who is the guy who stupidly put his arm back into an armbar during the contender series.
I remember that. That was fun. Yeah. That sums up this season perfectly. Nothing was going right for us.
That was one of the most infuriating fights I've ever seen. He was like, got my arm out of this armbar, and then he just pushed it back in.
Gumby picked me. Let me put my arm back in.
Yeah, that was wild. And I interviewed him that week, too. So I know that Rafael Aronoff is his brother. I'm gonna say the odds will probably come in here like -275 for Omil Brown. I think he's going to be a pretty big favorite. The record looks better. He's fighting in Cage Warriors before, you know, like all that, like the kind of indicators that the books usually rely on when they're setting lines are kind of leading in Omeo Brown. And I'm going to pick Brown, but I will tell you, if that number comes in at the, you know, sort of where I think it is going to, the negative 275, negative 300 kind of range, I think this fight's a lot closer, because the thing about Omeo Brown is he likes to fight from range and has a little bit of trouble when people rush forward. I think the lucky part for him here is that Aronoff just doesn't do that all that much. He likes his space as well. Omeo Brown also seems to have some issues with his takedown defense. Daniel Skibitzky got in on some takedowns early on him and kind of beat him up with it. Aronoff doesn't really shoot him. If it was Aronoff's brother or he fought anything like his brother does, I would be real worried here for Omeo Brown. Because, it, you know, whether he sticks his arms in arm bars or not, Ellie can really wrestle. Rafael, I've kind of not seen. Rafael's got kind of surprising power, which is maybe why I wouldn't be rushing to the books to grab Omeo Brown if he is at negative 275. You know, he's got a big one-punch power, but his head kind of stays on the center line too much. He also is one of those fighters who tries to block punches with the top of his head. You ever seen that before? Yep. He, like, drops his head.
Yep.
Yeah. Aronoff does that, and I don't think that's a good idea against Omeo Brown, but I don't know. Omeo Brown's kind of a decent striker as long as he can strike from range, and I don't know how it's going to work if he tries to block it with the top of his head against him. But I will say, Aronoff just doesn't move enough on the feet or do enough of the things that Brown is bad at to make me pick him. So I'm going to pick Omeo Brown. I'm going to hope this line comes in a lot closer than I'm expecting it to. But otherwise, it's probably just a dog or a pass situation for me.
All right. So Omeo Brown is the pick, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I bet he's heard that a few times. All right. What else is our pick, Gumby, as I try to transition to the ads? Oh, Cut. Of course, Cut is our pick. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features around the network that give it the feel of a social betting network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends and other users. Go on there, check out the custom odds that our bosses and the rest of the SGPN crew are putting up there, and see if any of them tickle your fancy. Download Cut today in the App Store or over on cut.com. That's KUTT.com, and use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And Underdog Fantasy are with us as well. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do, if you haven't played there before, pick higher or lower on the stat total on anywhere between 2 and 5 players. They got pretty much every sport in there, even MMA, and you can win 100 times your money. Boom. If you want to get winning picks in NBA, read the articles Gumby and I run every day for Underdog MMA on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So we're always on there checking out the odds. They got a lot of cool stuff. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code, Gumby's promo code, MMASGPN. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. Let's go to the main event, 167, Cage Warriors. Michael Pagani?
I think it's Pagani.
Which one is it? Pagani. He is from Italy, correct? Yes.
Correct.
Konstantinos Natalis from Greece, as Gumby alluded to. 3 5-minute rounds at lightweight. Natalis is the gambler. 8-2, 1 knockout, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his debut in Cage Warriors. He's won 2 straight fights in 7 of 8. 4 straight wins have come via finish. His last 4 wins, not 4. He hasn't won 4 straight. Was original champion. Used to fight at welterweight. 3 years younger than Pagani. 2-0 as a pro grappler. Pagani is sniper. 7-0 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 1-0 in Cage Warriors, and that's all I have resume wise for him. Gumby obviously will know more because he's not a fraud, and Gumby knows everything about all these fighters. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Pagani negative 225 here. Same reasons kind of as Omeo Brown. He's coming from the from Cage Warriors already. His record looks a little bit nicer, all that kind of good stuff. And I'm going to go with Pagani here. I think you're going to see if this was a fight that books were going to offer live lines on, I'd tell you to bet Pagani after round one and just wait for the number to inflate, because Natalis is going to come out here and he's going to look really good in the first. The guy comes out with absolute intentions to, you know, like pick you up, slam you, get the grappling going. To your point, he's had a lot of grappling matches, had a lot of success with them. But what I've noticed in his fights is that after about a round of grappling, there's nothing left. And I've also seen him countered a lot in his grappling, which is part of what makes him work so hard in his grappling, is that like he doesn't settle into a position well. Butterfly hooks and things like that really get him off of his game. And, you know, like Pagani is kind of crafty when it comes to that kind of thing. He will at least get himself back up. And I think pretty much what he's going to do here is he's going to have a pretty rough first round against Natalis, and then you're going to see him absolutely take over. Wouldn't be surprised with the finish after all of that. But, you know, in the recent losses I've seen from Natalis, it's just like there's nothing left in rounds two and three. So I'm going to take Pagani. If it is right around negative 200 or in the low 200s, it's probably an all right parlay piece. But, yeah, like that's nothing that I'm overly excited for if it comes out there.
Oatmeal and Nutella. That's going to be the episode title. Going to be yum.
Delicious. Delicious.
All right, so that's Cage Rewards 167. We should jump into 168 and let you know about that one as well. That is going down, same place, BEC Arena, Manchester, England, in a cage, 14 fights. This is Saturday now, the 16th of March, 12:30 p.m. Eastern on UFC Fight Pass, as per usual. We're going to cover what the top, no, well, as of now, we're going to cover what the top two fights and then another fight lower down, but they could shuffle the order of these fights. All right. Anyone that we're not talking about that you're interested in this fight card?
Yeah, I almost put the Luke Riley versus John DeJesus fight on here instead of some of the other ones. The reason I didn't is because John DeJesus is kind of a journeyman at this point, and I think they're feeding him to Luke Riley to kind of like build Luke Riley up. So I'm really excited to see what Luke Riley sort of becomes in the future. I think he's like a real fun prospect at featherweight. And then the other one I will say is Quentin Paletta is a name that I think a lot of people haven't heard before, and I have trouble saying, which is not great. But he only turned pro like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, and is only 4-0 so far. So he hasn't fought a ton yet, but he's got a amateur career that goes all the way back to 2013. So he's been fighting for like 11 years already. He's kind of a fun dude at middleweight out of England that people should keep an eye on. And despite the fact that he turned pro in 2013, he's still only 30 years old, so which isn't terribly old at middleweight. So maybe keep an eye on him in the future.
All right. There you go. There you go. All right. Now we're going to talk about who we're actually going to talk about. Does that make sense? Yeah, sure it does. We're going to talk about a main card fight, 3 5-minute rounds at light heavyweight. Andy Clamp from England versus a fellow countryman, Matthew Byfield. We will tell you about a Byfield first. Farda is nickname. I know nothing about that. I couldn't find anything. Do you know anything about what Farda
means? No, none.
All right. Well, we'll just leave it up in the air. Someone will know. Maybe one of our British listeners will tell us what Farda is. Mr. Byfield, 6-1 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He owes us rounds. If he's going to win, he owes his rounds. 3-0 with 1 no contest in Cage Warriors. He's won 3 straight fights. He's not lost since October 2021. 4 years younger than Clamp, 2 inches taller. Clamp, the Vice is nickname. That's a clever nickname. We've talked about him before, have we not?
We have, yep.
I remember clever nicknames, and that's what I remember. He's 12-2, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. Knocked out once, submitted it once. 1-1 in Cage Warriors, 4-1 over his last 5, including winning his last fight via submission. Regional champion, 2014 pro MMA debut. All right, I've drawn the outline. Gumby is going to color in. Stay in the lines, please.
So I kind of a weird fight here because Clamp, on one hand, I don't really love the stuff he does on his feet. He's clearly, when he made his transition into MMA, he clearly like was like, oh, I need a background for my striking, and clearly has like more of a Muay Thai guidance because he throws that front leg kick. His hands are a little bit down. I don't really love his striking, and it's sort of worrisome when you're fighting a guy who's 6'6 and kind of clubs people. But on the other hand, Clamp is just so much better on the ground. Both of these guys can sort of score a takedown, but one does so wildly technically and also just then has amazing pressure and positional work. And the other one is Matthew Byfield.
And
Byfield's very strong, and that's sort of why I think his skills maybe haven't developed in that area, because you see him leaving a lot of space in his positioning. His, you know, the last fight I watched, his takedown was pretty much just like grab a body lock and run forward as hard as you can until the guy falls down. And like, I just don't see any of that working against Clamp. He could come in here and just throw enough hands to maybe beat Clamp, because I, like I said, I'm not a big fan of Andy Clamp on the feet. But Clamp, like, you know, he reaches down for ankle picks, which you never see people do, and he like catches kicks exceptionally well. And then like, once he is on you, he is like stuck to you like glue. He's like very good on the mat, with like, you know, really nice chokes and stuff like that. So I kind of think Clamp is just going to get Byfield down one time, and that's going to be enough. Obviously, you're going to have to watch out, I think, because both these guys are kind of, I guess we could say they're prospecty. They've got good records, and they come from the area that Cage Warriors is trying to hype up. And because these guys are kind of prospecty, I think the odds will come in super close. I do think Clamp will be a slight favorite, maybe like -125. So I'm going to go favorite again here. I know people come here for people picking favorites nonstop.
Hey, you got to pick winners, dude.
Yeah, I got to pick winners. And I think Clamp will probably be a favorite here. Now, they could surprise me. The books could come out and put Byfield in there because he's 6'6", and that's kind of fun to watch. But I think Clamp should and will be a favorite.
All right, there you go. You said about -225, perhaps?
I said -125. Yeah, just barely, barely a favorite, much closer.
I'm used to your 167 with the ones you think are going to be big. Some of your LFA guesses were a little off, though, in the good way, I think. I think some of them came in much better than you hoped.
Yeah, Creighton, Jeff Creighton, I had at like -275. I was like, he is going to steamroll this dude and wrestle his head off. And then it wound up being like -135, which was, you know, like awesome. Yeah, we need more of that kind of being wrong.
Exactly. All right. Let's tell you about some more stuff. You know what I forgot to tell people about yesterday? So you're going to have to cut this Gumby right here and go get in your time machine and go back yesterday's episode and tell them. The part where I'm going to tell about Merch Madness. All right. You have a time machine, right? I forgot to say Merch Madness yesterday. We have Merch Madness, M-E-R-C-H Madness going on right now.
I don't even have a graphic for this.
Okay, that's even better than 15% off everything in the merch store. Promo code Madness. All right. Get gear like this hat I'm wearing. Gumby, is your top an SGP top?
Nope.
You're wearing right now? No, too bad. Anyhow, you want to be cool like us and dress like us and merch Madness, promo code Madness. Like I said, Gumby's going to do a time machine and put that, just drop it in anywhere. We wear the same clothes every episode anyhow, so no one will even know, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the bosses won't get mad at me. All right, now I'm going to tell you about Champs, which Gumby had up on the screen for our YouTube viewers already. Look at that smiling guy pretending he's holding a laptop. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. All right. Now that I got that out of the way, my screw-up's causing Gumby work. It's not too much work, right?
I'll make it happen.
He will make it happen because we like to be paid and continue to do our jobs, right? All right. What are we going to? We're going to the co-main event, are we not? We are. Bantamweights, 3 5-minute rounds. Sam Kelly from that England place again versus Alessandro Giordano. Can you guess where he's from, Gumby?
He is Italian.
He is Italian. Exactly. 3 5-minute rounds. I would talk about Giordano first. 6-3 with 4 knockouts. Never been finished in a fight. 0-2 in Cage Warriors. He's lost 2 straight fights. He's not won since March of 2022. He's fight at featherweight, 3 years younger than Kelly. He's the guy you mentioned earlier that you didn't know much about, right?
No, that was Konstantinos Nutella.
So right. Yes, the guy with the fun name Nutella. Kelly, the Mighty Mole. I like to call him the Mighty Mole. Wouldn't that be better if he's named after a sauce?
If he was named after a Mexican sauce, being from England, yeah. Now,
exactly. Have I not? I think I might have done that joke already.
I think you did. I'm almost positive you did.
Damn it! It's embarrassing. I got to switch up my material. Once I record my special, I got to remember to switch up my material. Anyhow, the Mighty Mole is 5-2 with 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. He owns his rounds. Never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in Cage Warriors, 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight. Hopefully Gumby didn't pick him in that one. Used to fight at featherweight as well. An inch taller than Giordano. All right, go ahead. Try not to repeat any jokes.
Yeah, I think Kelly's going to be a big favorite here. This almost seems like when they bring in, no offense, but it seems like they bring in these Italian guys to lose most of the time. I feel really bad saying that. But it seems like they're bringing him in.
You're not doing it. Not your fault.
It seems like they're bringing him in to get beat by Kelly. I'm going to say negative 250 Kelly. And I think he wins pretty easily too, mostly just because Giordano, both of these guys can be countered pretty easily because they're both a little bit reckless. The thing is just that like Kelly's a little bit better at putting pressure forward and actually putting combinations together. So like, you know, Giordano will be a little bit more reckless, but only throw one or two things. Kelly will throw like a four or five piece combo while he's moving forward. So like, I like that about him. I also think if Kelly really wanted to, Kelly could just wrestle for 15 minutes in this fight and probably win, because Giordano doesn't really have the takedown defense, I don't think, to stop Sam Kelly. Now, I don't know that Sam Kelly's instinct is to do that, and I think he's going to have enough success on the feet that he doesn't, but it's kind of like the ace in the back pocket that he can use if things aren't working out for him. So this one's kind of an easier one for me. I think Sam Kelly kind of rolls, and you see him at pretty big odds.
Disappointing, Gumby. You're really letting us down. If they win, I guess it's fine. But yeah, you're letting us down with the boring picks this week. But let's go to the main event, shall we? It is for the Cage Warriors Bantamweight Championship, 5 5-minute rounds at 135 pounds. Liam Gittins, the champion from England, versus a invading American, Roberto Hernandez. I'll tell you about the challenger first. Hernandez, Greenlight is a nickname. 9-1, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 7-0 in Cage Warriors. He's won 9 straight fights. He's not lost since September 2017. Used to fight at featherweight. Twin-inch Starlin Gittins. Gittins Nightmare is a nickname. 12-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 9-4 in Cage Warriors. He is the champion. He won it in his last fight. He's won 5 straight. He's not lost since December 2021. Used to fight down at flyweight, up at featherweight. 4 years younger than Hernandez.
Yeah, so I'm going to say this one comes in as a pick'em. Hernandez has been pretty much main eventing every single one of Cage Warriors cards when they come to the U.S. He's been all over those Cage Warriors San Diego cards, and he's looked really good doing them. So even though he's not the champ coming in here, I think we're going to see you'll probably see negative 110 on either side here. And I'm going to go against. I think, you know, for me, it's the scrambling of Liam Gittins that consistently makes me pick this guy. Is just that I think when he gets into these jiu-jitsu exchanges, he wins them every time. And it's not even necessarily that like he's a good wrestler. It's just that he doesn't quit. He doesn't believe in like settling into a position and stuff like that. And because he does all those things really well, I think he's going to be able to beat Roberto Hernandez. And the thing for me about Gittins' like weaknesses is Gittins' weaknesses. He's like a little bit too stationary late in the fight. He starts to look like he could be more and more hittable, but I think he's so much faster than Hernandez in the first place that I don't know that Hernandez is going to be able to take advantage of that. Plus I think he's probably going to tire Hernandez out with the grappling anyway. So like when he is getting later in the fight and all that kind of stuff, and he is there to sort of be hit, I don't know that Hernandez will be, and that's if he survives all the grappling onslaught. So I'm going to go with Gittins. I'm guessing probably a pick him here, and that's probably right around what it should be.
That's better, Gumby. That's better. That's what we would like to see. All right. Before we move on, actually, I'm going to recap all his picks after I tell you about Hall of Fame bets. You win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You can enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Start all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot, which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, let's recap his picks. We don't have official odds, as we've said. So hopefully some of these ones he thinks are going to be big favorites. Maybe they'll come in dogs. You never know. First night, Pagani and Brown. Second night, Gittins, Kelly, and Clamp. Correct?
That's right.
All right. Maybe since we've been so quick, before we get out of here, they announced the next Ultimate Fighter. Any interesting cast members? Anyone that
no, it's you terrible.
Know? Is it terrible? Okay, good.
I had some people mentally circled when I heard that there was going to be a middleweight and a featherweight season. particularly middleweights. And I know middleweights is like a sort of a bad weight class, but I had a couple circled and I had been following their social media and noticed like a downtick in posting. And I was like, oh, sick. Maybe Therese Finney from Contender Series is getting in there. He hadn't posted in a minute. And I'm like, he would be perfect. And he's got a great style to beat people in the Ultimate Fighter. He wrestles a lot. He doesn't take a lot of damage. Like, I was like, man, Therese Finney would be perfect for that. And then Rat Garbage pulled out of a bare knuckle MMA fight. Mandel Nalo pulled out of
garbage.
Rat Garbage pulled out of a bare knuckle MMA fight last month or last week or 2 weeks ago or something like that. And I didn't see a reason posted anywhere that he was hurt or anything like that. And I was like, sick, maybe they put Rat Garbage in the house. And he's like, man, I'm not going to go get busted up doing bare knuckle MMA in the process, because he's got a good enough record and he's kind of fun and weird to watch. And, you know, he's got a great personality. I was like, so sick, give me Rat Garbage and Therese Finney. And instead they got like, I don't want to hate on some of these guys.
What's the best name? Who's the best person they got?
Mark Holm from he's from South Africa. He's one of Dricus du Plessis's teammates. He they had that was it BFL it's United. United MMA up in Canada right before the Strickland du Plessis fight, and it turned into a Dana White's looking for a fight you know, the week before. Yeah. And when they found out it was turning into a Dana White's looking for a fight, Dricus was like, hey, can we get Mark Holm on that card too?
Right.
We don't even care what you thought. Yeah. He went in, he absolutely beasted, and this is what they decided to do with him. Kind of disappointing, because I think he could have just gone to the UFC, but like, he will by and far be the best fighter on that show. I mean, dude, they got like, again, not out here hating, but they got like a 37-year-old Mexican wrestler. And like, he's a good wrestler, and he fought in the Worlds and stuff like that and all that kind of stuff. But like, he's also 37, and like, that's, to me, that's not what this show should be about. And I know it's morphed into something that's like kind of everybody's last chance to make it to the UFC, because the young fun prospects all wind up in Contender Series. But like, is there any reason it can't be fun up and comers? Is there any reason it can't be a house full of guys at 4-0 or 5-0? I don't know that there is. Maybe those guys just don't say yes. I feel like they probably would. But yeah, I was kind of underwhelmed by the names, especially because I saw some potential names possibly pop up and they all did not happen.
So it's middleweight and feather. I thought it was bantamweight, but it's featherweight, you said?
It's featherweight, but it's loaded with bantamweights. If I'm not mistaken, it's like pretty much the entire list. I was like, oh, he fights a bantamweight, and so does that guy, and so does that guy. And like, a lot of the middleweights are actually welterweights. So you know, that's just because you're not going to do those big, massive weight cuts in the house all the time without your team. So that's a little bit less egregious than some of the names they picked, in my opinion.
Oh, and it's constant. The constant weight cuts, too. Like, they're fighting all the time. So, that makes sense. And the coaches are Grasso and Shevchenko, which means we're getting part three of their fight.
Which we kind of thought was going to happen when Fierro and Blanchfield got matched.
Yeah, and that season's I guess they're recording now. Usually, like, they're already in the house by the time we hear about it, right?
I'm pretty sure they're in the house now, which is why I was looking for people's social media and whether or not it got updated and stuff. So
you're checking Rat Garbage's anyway. Come on.
Yeah, I'm always on Rat Garbage's social media. I follow Rat Garbage and Therese Finney. So there you go.
There you go. There you go. All right. That is enough for tonight, because I gave Gumby some extra editing work to do. Where can you get us? Discord, obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter, SGPNMMA, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer. There are the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on the IG, Instagram. MoneyMMA.substack.com is where you should go to see my writings and such. And at the very least, you can enter my free pick'em contest every week and win some good stuff for free. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA Podcast. Do we have a guest list for this week? Are we keeping people in suspense?
Yeah, I'm going to be talking to Isaac Dalgarian, who is fighting this upcoming weekend. And then somebody from the weekend. Kurt Hollebaugh. Tough winner. Topical piece here. Kurt Hollebaugh, who's got a fight, I believe, the weekend after. On the 23rd.
I thought you were saying you were interviewing the weekend. I'm like, wow, you're getting starved.
Yeah, I got the weekend.
Canadian, mind you. Canadian. Of course.
So is Rat Garbage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. So is Rat Garbage. This turned into a Rat Garbage episode. Hopefully it was not a Rat Garbage episode for your ears. We're going to be back on Wednesday. It's not the greatest UFC fight night, but it's not the worst either. we've seen the worst. This is not the worst. So we'll be back Wednesday, Thursday with that for you. In the meantime, I told you where to go. Oh, obviously, YouTube sports, all the sports gambling podcasts, pretty much all the pods are on there, but obviously MMA gambling podcasts is the one you want to subscribe to. Subscribe to them all, but extra subscribe to ours, go make a whole bunch of fake accounts and subscribe with that as well. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com to read all of Gumby and mine and all the other hardworking writers articles, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Remember, madness is your code, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, so we can crush corporate gambling. All right, Gumby, I've talked enough. You can say goodbye now.
All right, I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's Rat Garbage Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.